My name is Sean McNicholas. I'm the CEO of SSA Group.
Hello, I'm John Rossi. I'm a touring drummer with a passion for animal conservation. When I'm on the road, I spend as much time as possible visiting zoos, aquariums, and conservation organizations. Now, I want to share those places with you. I'll be talking to keepers, vets, conservationists, anyone who can help me in my mission of connecting my people to animals through their people. Join me on my raw safari. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Raw Safari Podcast. All right, y'all. So, as you know, I am a big fan of taking you behind the scenes at zoos and aquariums. And that's exactly what we're going to do today, but we're going behind the scenes in a different place and a different way than we normally do at the zoo, because I'm actually talking to Sean McNicholas, the CEO of SSA Group. And if you don't know that name, well, you're definitely going to after this interview, but I promise you, if you are a zoo fan, it is highly likely that you have interacted with the SSA Group at some point, because this is a company that is partnering with a whole bunch of zoos and aquariums across the country and beyond, honestly, to run the gift shops and the restaurants and the ticketing and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, this is a really important aspect of zoos, as fun and important as it is to talk about the conservation work and the individual animals and all that stuff. You know, there's a whole lot going on that needs to go smoothly in order for guests to be able to actually enjoy their experiences and connect with those animals and learn about conservation and contribute to conservation, you know, even just through the price of admission and stuff. And so Sean and I talk about what SSA Group is doing to revolutionize all of that, which I think is a really important topic. You might also recognize the SSA Group name because they are pretty big sponsors of the AZA conference every year, and they have their names right on the lanyards that the name badges come in and everything. So yeah, this is a company that is very, very into, frankly, the same stuff that if you're listening to this, you are. I certainly am. So yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing that with y'all. Before we get to it, a couple of quick reminders. Make sure you hit subscribe and make sure that you are following along at Raw Safari on socials, at Raw Safari Pod on the TikTok machine. And hey, in case you missed it or forgot, don't forget that there is the amazing fundraiser that we talked about in our bonus episode last week going on to raise money for AB conservation. And that is being done by a zookeeper in Scotland. And I will make sure I post more links and stuff. But the first raffle for that is over, but there's going to be another raffle, and there's also a bunch of merch that you can buy, and also some additional cool stuff that you can win if you participate and mention that you heard about them from Raw Safari. So make sure that you check my you know, socials, hit the stories so that you can see all of the details. And I will also be sure to include those in the show notes here. And then one other thing, you may have heard it in the teaser where Sean introduces himself, but we had a little bit of the choppy Zoom audio. And it was interesting when we spoke live, I didn't really hear it sounding that bad. But when I went to listen to the recording, I noticed that there was a lot of that. And fortunately, I've learned a lot about how to make it sound significantly better. But there is some choppiness at the beginning, and it works itself out fairly quickly. So make sure you stick with it. And yeah, all right. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sean McNicholas of the SSA Group.
Super excited, John, to be on your podcast. I love zoos. I'll get into that in a minute. I'm the CEO of SSA Group. And we have a sister company, SSA Ventures, as well. So let's call it the SSA ecosystem. And we provide food retail ticketing. We're a full revenue bundle. Food retail ticketing and technology at zoos, aquariums, and museums across the nation. We have some international business as well. Thousands of employees. And I'd like to start by giving a big shout out to the SSA family. I deeply care about you. And we have 90 partners that I also care about. And I love the industry. I love zoos.
That's awesome. And so what's your history with zoos? Why do you love zoos? I mean, I know why I love zoos, but tell me your story.
Sure. So I grew up in an amazing entrepreneurial house, John. 452 Leiden Street was the address in Denver, Colorado. And from the outside, unassuming. But when you walked across that Irish welcome mat, the place came alive. We always had legendary parties and dancing and music and food. And what I loved about growing up there is that if someone needed a meal, we had a meal for them. If someone needed a place to stay, we provided a place to stay for them. And it was true hospitality. And that's what SSA lives for, is creating those special moments of hospitality that have a lasting impact on your life. And in doing so, it's also a benefit for the person giving it. And that was the essence of 452. Now, my father started our business in concessions working with the Denver Broncos. And the story goes, the city was also involved with the stadium at the Denver Broncos. Well, the city manager introduced my father to a famous zoo director by the name of Clayton Freiheit. Have you ever heard that name before?
I have not, no.
Okay. So he was the director at the Denver Zoo for a long, long, long time, probably like 50 years,
okay. Wow.
40 to 50 years. And very iconic. They refer to some of the, I don't know if I should use older zoo directors, but how about legendary zoo directors as silverbacks? And that term has been used. Clayton was a silverback. Clayton and my father had a couple sips of brandy, and I think they had multiple sips of brandy throughout their time together. And Clayton ended up hiring my father to run the concessions at the Denver Zoo, which zoos weren't really looking to outsource at the time. Food and beverage, retail, ticketing was just kind of just part of what they did. So they hired Kevin McNicholas, and we started running concessions at the Denver Zoo. So what made my upbringing amazing is we had three partners. One was the National Western Stock Show and Rodeo, so I got to spend time there. Two, the Denver Broncos, I got to spend time there. And three, most importantly, is I grew up at the Denver Zoo, going to zoo camps. My first job was busing tables at the Denver Zoo, and I have so many fond memories of the Denver Zoo, and then also closely the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, because we became pretty close to the director down there.
That's awesome. It's so nice to know that you actually have like a really strong background in this and are passionate about it. That's really cool. I like that a lot. First of all, this is such a simple question, but you keep mentioning that it's SSA. And what does SSA mean?
It used to mean Service Systems Associates. I think at the time we were trying to sound bigger than we were. And fortunately, people just call us SSA. So it doesn't stand for anything. Okay. To us, It is our family business. So we are a family business. The shareholders are the McNicholas family. And then we have a wonderful, like I said, thousands of individuals that work for us, a lot of seasonal. We've had a lot of people that have been with us 20, 30, 40 years who also care deeply about zoos. So I think that is a differentiator, especially for our culture.
That's very cool. I really like that. And you know, so let me just share my experience with SSA.
Please.
I had not really heard of y'all until a few years ago. And then I started hearing like, oh, this gift shop is now working with SSA. And oh, SSA is now in this gift shop. And it was this slow trickle where I kept hearing this name. And then 2 years ago, I attended my first AZA conference. And then I went back last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we get our nifty little lanyards. And at the top is SSA Group. So I found it really interesting how, like, from my perspective, it went from something I really hadn't heard of to like, oh, y'all are everywhere and growing. and it was pretty cool to see that and see that impact. Has it been a lot of like recent growth, or is it just that's just how it came into my world?
Yeah, let's call it the second generation. So I was leading the charge on the second generation. We took over at the beginning of the 2010s. And right at that point, John, the guests were looking for an elevated experience. And here's what I mean by that. Food Network was coming online. You got Amazon who started making a splash at that point. So the experience from a shopping standpoint and an eating standpoint started changing. And that was when we became a big trendsetter in zoos by taking the old bad zoo food in cafes and elevating it to a new experience and a new perceived value. You had Starbucks and Panera that was starting to do it. So that became the essence of what we started becoming known as, John. And the other important piece of this journey is we often like to just stand behind the brand of the zoo or aquarium. So you mentioned National Aquarium and the Maryland Zoo. You wouldn't hear much about SSA because we always talk about ourselves as the Maryland Zoo. So we wear the Maryland Zoo uniform. We wear that logo. If someone asks us, well, where do you work? We say, oh, we work for the Maryland Zoo. So that's always been a big part of our culture. More recently, and this is maybe why you're hearing more about us, is zoos are starting to lose. And when I say zoos, I really mean zoos and aquariums too. AZA.
I do the same thing on the podcast. You can't say zoos and aquariums okay. Every time. So we're all with you on that one. Yeah.
Got it. And oh, by the way, zoo and aquarium people are the most passionate and caring people I've ever met in my life. Yeah. And that's what puts a big smile. So that, and we're laser focused on this industry. We don't go into hotels and that. We love zoos and aquariums and cultural attractions. But anyway, the reason why you mentioned that we're hearing more and more about SSA is zoos are starting to look at SSA as the company that is innovating the guest experience. Tell us more how you can do that, Sean. Tell us more how you could do that, SSA. And we've evolved our business model from just food and gift shops to food, retail, ticketing, the guest experience platform, the technology, which I can get into. That's a big, big trend in the future. And technology. And I think more and more of our partners are looking at us and looking towards us to continue to innovate that guest experience for them. And why that's important is because as we grow revenue and grow experience, they get more money or a percentage of that to grow their mission, feed their animals, and work in conservation. And wow, they're amazing at conservation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the conservation work done at zoos is just next level. And yeah, the fact that y'all are helping to fund that and bring in more is very cool. And yeah, I have noticed the at the individual facilities that are part of your group, they don't say that unless I ask or unless, you know, I was
good
because I know that y'all recently started working with the Columbus Zoo. And
that's correct.
I was there, yeah. I think the first weekend that y'all were there. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. The Columbus Zoo gift shop is one of my favorite gift shops in the country. They have a lot of unique stuff related to their specific animals. I've always really enjoyed what they have there. And so I went in and I'm not going to lie to you. I was very ready to be very disappointed. And instead, I think I dropped $120 and walked out with this new custom hat that I got that you could have made right there and all this other cool stuff. And I did feel that y'all did a really great job at Columbus. But I asked a couple people, I was like, so wait, you guys are SSA group now, right? And there was not a hesitancy in like lying, but like, you could see that they were processing and being like, well, like you said, we work at the Columbus Zoo, but also yes. And it was, and I was like, no, it's cool. It's cool. I know what's going on. So I was curious, you know, how you guys feel about it. And everyone there was actually like super pumped about the change and all of that, which I thought was cool to see.
Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the purchases too.
Trust me. Yeah, there are a lot of those. Yes. But yeah, so the first thing I want to talk about, we'll get to the tech stuff and all the other stuff, but so many of the people that listen to this podcast are just zoo fans and traveling. Yeah. All of their vacations are set up around going to different zoos and all that stuff. Yeah. And the thing that I think most people are excited about or concerned about, either way, depending on what side they're at, is the gift shop. You know, I think for that group of people, having cool stuff, having ways to remember the facility that they were at is really important. So I'm wondering what your approach to the gift shop, to the retail stuff is, and also how you make sure that it doesn't become like just the same stuff at every zoo, you know?
I love this question, by the way. And I love that zoo fans have concerns out there because we want to listen to them and address them. And we're always open to that kind of feedback. I think one of the key things for SSA when we come into a new partnership and we look at the gift shop is to make sure that we keep that local and that fun feel but also then elevate the experience based on our resume and all of the, let's call it the people that we have, the very talented team that know retail very, very well. And we take it to the next level too. My mentor always, he always says this. He actually mentions this to me all the time. He says, "Sean, do what you do best and let others do the rest." I'm like, "Yeah, okay. All right, Dave." We're good at driving revenue. And because of the nature of a nonprofit zoo and a for-profit kind of mentality for revenue, sometimes there's an inherent conflict. And those business models are sometimes in conflict. And what I mean by that is most zoos are run as a nonprofit. What they're really great at is delivering their mission, conservation. So you have zoos. You also have facilities like White Oak and Long Neck Manor. I don't know if you've heard of those two, but they're fantastic at conservation. They're really great at that. What we're really great at is driving revenue. So partnering on those makes a ton of sense for the future business model of zoos. Now let's go back to the gift shop. So we partner with a new store like Columbus, because you mentioned Columbus Zoo. Our goal is to make sure that we have product that speaks to the Columbus Zoo, that is sustainable, that has a tie to the mission, and will allow somebody like yourself to go in and go, SSA is taking over, and then be pleasantly surprised walking away by, wow, they've really taken the store to the next level. The other thing we do is we bring in capital investment. So we want to make sure that we make some improvements in the store, improving the shopping experience, adding a little technology to it, making it convenient for the guests. We also, you said AZA, you were at AZA Columbus. We partnered with M&M's brands to create a fully compostable packaging. That was really cool. That was the first time they did that. Okay, that you saw really that. Cool.
Oh, I might have sampled one or two of the packs, maybe.
So one of our values at SSA is our word is our bond. So I promise the zoo fans, as they go to other zoos, that we will continue to keep that local artisan, local business flair, keep it tied to the region community, make sure it's sustainable product, make sure we have cool products that they can purchase and walk away. Back to that 452 Leiden story, we were a small business at one point. I know what it's like to be a small business, and we continue to promote and also invest and help small businesses. The Conery is one on the ice cream side. And then we have an apparel. It is Super Maggie's out of Texas. It's women owned, and we're partnering with them to make sure that the Dallas Zoo and the Houston Zoo carry their apparel.
Nice. Okay. All right. Very cool. That is a great answer. It really is. I love that. And I love how, you know, I'm not going to lie again. I'm very honest, if you can't tell. And I appreciate that. Yeah. And when y'all approached about doing this interview, I wondered how authentic it would be about saying stuff like, look, our job is to bring in money. Like, money is just a weird topic for people, even though you literally need money to like do conservation work. Like, this is important. Yeah. And I love the fact that you're just sitting here and just staring right at me and saying, we make money. And then the zoos get more of that and they can do more good stuff. And I think that's really refreshing to hear, honestly, because you're right. That is important. We need money. Yeah. So yeah, that's very cool. So you had mentioned bringing in technology, and I know I've started to see it some of these places, even just like self checkouts and stuff. But talk about some of the tech and why that actually helps guests.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a huge trend, and I think we're early in it in the zoo world. Well, let me take a step back. What I love about zoos is we have this competitive advantage of entertainment and conservation. And I think we need to double down on that. What makes me nervous about zoos in the future is the business models. Like, where are they going to continue to get their funding? The capital. I mean, these are big, big parks with a lot of costs. Animals aren't cheap. We have a barn and a little farm that I live on, and animals aren't cheap and they need constant care. And then the third piece is we lag as an industry when it comes to innovation, especially on the guest experience. So 5 years ago, SSA, we were going down this path of building the guest experience platform of the future. We see Disney do it, My Disney Experience. When I say guest experience platform, it's where you buy your ticket, your parking, your mobile ordering, your gift shop purchases, education, if you need to interact. You can curate your day. We can bring stuff to you, membership, and then even have some donation, that type of capability, all in one central location where the guest has it really easy. we were going down this path. What I realized is, damn, is it expensive, John? Okay. And where, outside of like Disney, where does it exist? And I also realized that maybe we're a little bit ahead. Some of the zoos weren't ready, not necessarily just from a strategic standpoint, but from an infrastructure standpoint, from Wi-Fi, cell, those kind of things. Get through the pandemic. Luck is another value of SSA, fun and luck. So I said, our word is our bond. Another one is fun and luck. We're walking around IAPA. Have you ever been to IAPA, the International Amusement Park? Okay. It's in Orlando in November. More and more zoos are starting to go there because there's this blend of entertainment, theme park. And I'm not saying roller coasters belong in zoos, but I am saying it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And more zoos, more and more of our clients are starting to attend IAPA. So we're walking around IAPA and we come across a company called attractions.io. And they had the technology. They're building the guest experience platform. So we ended up talking to them, having a partnership with them, and we have become one of their shareholders. Now, I'll pause there. Any questions on that part?
No. So far, I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay. We also learned being over in Europe and looking at some of the zoos over in Europe, which if you haven't had a chance to do, you got to go check out some of the zoos over in Europe. They're pretty spectacular.
Nice.
Have you had a chance to do that?
No, I haven't. And I really want to. Raw Safari needs to do like a world tour at some point here.
I totally agree. And because we set the trend in America on some things and they set the trend on some things in Europe. And I think the guest experience is where they're setting the trend because they're using the guest experience platform. So now Columbus, San Diego Zoo, Zoo Tampa, they're using attractions.io as that central piece for the guests to access everything they need to make their experience a wonderful experience at the zoos. That is the future.
Let me interrupt for 1 second just to ask. So does that include making the apps that they have for their parks now?
It would replace that. It would be a part.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't necessarily. I guess in some situations it wouldn't replace it, but it'd be part of that. But it is the map. It is the wayfinding. It is the platform.
Okay. Because the reason I ask is that the few that do have apps now it's just a beautiful thing. Like it changes the entire experience and you don't miss shows and you don't miss keeper talks and you don't, get lost if you don't have every zoo in the country memorized, like I might or might not, I don't know, but for the average person. If that's a move, the direction that y'all are moving, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So let me be clear. Their zoos are building their own maps or creating their own maps. And yes, that is a beautiful thing, especially for the guest. The guest experience platform is more than that. Okay. Not only is it your map and wayfinding, but it allows you then to buy your ticket and put your ticket there. Make sure you purchase parking. Let's say parking chains. Maybe there's valet. It integrates with that. Maybe there's a hotel on premise. Well, then your room key. It ties everything in into one app. And so attractions.io is who we partner with and we use. Columbus Zoo is a big user of attractions.io. The interesting thing we're seeing there, John, is people are starting to interact with the app, with the platform, a mile before they get there, or maybe a half a mile. So they're already starting to think through. And there's always been this thought in zoos is, how do we interact with the guests before arrival and then maybe when they leave? So this guest experience is the future. I actually think if you don't have it, you're going to lose sales because we're competing with a lot of different entertainment venues and things these days for time and money, and guests want that platform.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I love the Columbus app. I think it is a really good one. So yeah, that's cool that it's that same company. I like that a lot. That's neat. Yeah, yeah, very cool. All right. I mean, all of this makes perfect sense to me because also I can tell you, I talked to you, we were talking about the zoo fan thing that is a thing out there. And a lot of them, because I do this podcast, like to tell me all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. I hear from a lot of people about a lot of zoos. And most of the complaints, especially at the smaller zoos and stuff, are like, yeah, I showed up and I had to pay for parking and I didn't, realize that. So I went out to my car and then I couldn't leave. And then I had to go back to the booth or I it took me 20 minutes to get tickets or whatever. And it sounds like y'all are working to really maximize those areas, which is honestly what I hear most complaints about. Most people don't complain when they're looking at a red panda, So
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's very cool. And then you mentioned that y'all do food as well. So what are the innovations? What kind of stuff? What impact does that have? And do you promise me that you won't get rid of zoo pretzels? Because that is my favorite tradition.
We're double down on pretzels.
Perfect.
You'll be happy to know that. So we have 70 chefs in the company. Okay. And we also have a thing called SSA Labs. And SSA Labs is where we test new ideas, test menu concepts, test things, and then roll them out based on feedback and trials. We're taking pretzels to a whole new level. We're adding some sweet and savory. So be on the lookout at your local zoo for that. And people, yeah, people like those fun foods. That's going to continue to be a trend. So we're, a trend will be elevated fun foods. Our Very chicken cool. tenders are an old recipe from somebody within our company. It was his grandmother's recipe, and it's hand breaded. So it's not the buy from the factory. We hand bread the chicken tenders, and they're delicious. So it's elevating that fun food. I would say one of the things that we're making the biggest impact on is taking an old zoo cafe and then making investment. So one of the things that SSA does that I don't think a lot of people know is not only does the zoo get a percentage of every sale. So when you came and bought your purchases in the gift shop, a percentage goes to the zoo for their mission, but we also make investment into the facilities. So we put capital in. So I'll give you an example. One of the busiest cafes in the nation is the cafe at the Detroit Zoo, the main cafe. It was called the Arctic Cafe. I know the name doesn't scream like, come on in, it's going to be a culinary, amazing experience. So we put a significant investment in there, changed it to table 28, added kiosks, added technology, upgraded the menu, and we saw a 20% lift in per caps. We saw more people, higher throughput, so they weren't waiting in line as long, and a lot more on the guest satisfaction. We also did the same thing at the Houston Zoo with their Cypress Cafe. They had the Cypress, and we elevated to this, imagine this really cool, modern cafe. You walk in, you wouldn't expect that in a zoo. And then you see the elevated entrees, and that gives that hospitality, that great experience for the guests. So those are some of the examples that we've done recently, and we're going to continue because I do believe that we're in another point in our journey where the innovation renaissance of food is going to happen. It's going to happen. And I think zoos can be the place. I think zoos can be the place.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. I am curious. So you mentioned, you know, kind of, first of all, I'm blown away. I knew y'all were big, but I didn't realize, you know, you're talking about your like test kitchens and chefs on staff. And I did not fully realize how big the company is. And yet it's still like a small family thing. I think that's very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. And part of the size of it and the number of facilities that you're in and stuff. And you mentioned this with the M&M stuff a little bit, but is that you're actually able to have sustainability impacts on companies and make companies, more sustainable or, you know, I'm sure you have a nicer way to say this, but, or say, hey, no, we're going to go with someone else. We're going to, you know,
yeah,
because the products do need to be part of the mission of the zoo. And so how are you doing that? And can you give like an example or two of times you've done that?
Yeah, sure. On the retail side, especially, we've just recently partnered with a company called Aurora. They do plush, and we changed the inside. So now I'm going to botch this in terms of exactly what everything is inside of those plush animals that we love to buy at gift shops. But we removed the plastic with a recycled or we removed the plastic pellets, and we used a more eco-friendly insides for the plush. And the important part about that is that was going to be an exclusive arrangement with Aurora. But because it made such a big impact and became eco-friendly plush, they asked, what if we did that for everyone? And we're like, yeah, I mean, it's better for the industry if everybody can buy that eco-friendly plush. So that's one example. I think Fresno is where we launched that. And I think you picked that up because you mentioned that to me in an email to me.
Yeah.
To Kate.
Yeah. I think that's
amazing.
One. Yeah.
Cool. And then you mentioned M&Ms. And then the second one that I would add, John, is we've had a great long relationship with Wild Republic, and they were critical.
Nice.
They were critical and what great partners to help us remove single-use plastic packaging from our toy line and allow it to become an eco-friendly toy line. 2 years ago, the Monterey Bay Aquarium became the first store in cultural attractions in the world to be single-use plastic packaging free. And Wild Republic played a big role. The first zoo was Houston Zoo. So Wild Republic played a big role in that. Now we're rolling that out to all of our other partners. And it's a big deal on the sustainability side. So we appreciate the partnerships that we have, especially on the retail side.
Yeah, that's very cool. I like that a lot. Those are some really great examples. I was going to ask you what you would say to the cynics who say, like, you know, oh, I don't like big corporations taking over or whatever. And I'll still open the floor to you, but I feel like most of this interview has been you just doing that by being authentic and saying what you're doing. But like, if there's anyone who's listening who's still not convinced that there is at least, you know, good reasons to be excited about SSA Group being in facilities, what would you say to them?
Yeah, it's a go to your local zoo, go shopping, and let us know what you did or didn't like. And with a lens of, hey, where's some local things and where's some local businesses that are supported? Because we do support a ton of local businesses, and we will continue to do that. And we like to take a look at the local community and make sure that we're supporting them as well. And remember, we're a family business, and we started off as a very, very small business. And so we will continue to invest and support those businesses because we believe that has to be a part of the entire ecosystem.
Cool. Now, I have to say this while you are wonderful at saying all of this. Enough corporate speak for a second. What's your favorite animal? Come on, tell me.
Rhino.
Nice. All right. Very cool. Very cool. And what area do you live in now? Is there a zoo near you? What's your zoo?
Yeah, so I'm in Denver. So okay, my zoo is still the Denver Zoo.
Nice.
I split it with the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo because we've moved south. So we're not like halfway in between both, but we're still closer to Denver. But I split between those two as my home zoos.
Those are both incredible facilities. That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And I think my last question for you, if I can ask one more, is like sure. I said, I know y'all are major sponsors of the AZA conference. The last 2 years I've been there, badge had you firmly right up front on it. What do you get from that? Why do you do that? And what goes into it? Like, what is the, you know, it's a huge conference. What is your connection to it?
Yeah, really good question. So I do not want to come across corporate speak. So I work for a big, big, big company out of college. And one of the things that I constantly remind our team is, let's not be so big corporate. So I'm going to be very careful with my corporate answers. I liked when you said, Sean, I appreciate your authentic and genuine responses. So I'm going to stick to that theme.
I love it.
AZA is that's our market of choice, and we love them. And it goes back to growing up in zoos. It goes back to the fact that we love zoo people. They're crazy and amazing all in the same like sentence. Their dedication to animals. We are partnering with Long Neck Manor in some ways. And I love the way that we're using those animals or looking at those as ambassadors of conservation. AZA is a place where we can have the biggest impact as a company. I do believe that on the innovation side, we're behind the times, especially in zoos. So I think SSA can help in a lot of ways. And I care deeply about this industry. SSA cares deeply about this industry. So we want to put our name on the badge. We want to be a sponsor of AZA. We want AZA to continue to be a great organization. We want zoos to be around 50 years. I mean, our business has been around for 50 years. Our goal is to be a centurion. We want to be around for 100 years as a family business. There are a lot of zoos that are celebrating their 75th, 50th, 75th, and 100 these days. And we want them to be 150, 200 years old. They need SSA on the revenue side and the mission delivery side and the guest experience side. And we want to help them. That's why we're big sponsors of AZA.
Cool. Awesome. I love it. All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Thank you for this time. And it's pretty awesome that you're engaged in zoos. And to the zoo fans, I promise we're going to continue to make sure the stores don't look like the same Target that you would go into all different ways, because we want to make sure that your shopping experience is amazing.
Cool. I like that you keep saying the word promise, because that means we can hold you to them. And I like that.
I love
it. Really cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much for the time. It has been a blast.
John, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate you.
Take care. So I have to be completely honest with y'all. When I heard from the SSA group and they actually reached out to me about being on the podcast, I was curious about whether or not that would be the right move because, you know, it's not the animal stuff. Although I love that we were able to talk to Sean about, you know, his history with the Denver Zoo and loving rhinos and all that good stuff. But also because, you know, of the concerns that I voiced in this episode about, you know, homogenization and all that good stuff. And I was very pleased that they were interested in being on, but, you know, was a little worried about that. And I will say I reached out and I accepted the offer tentatively, but saying that I was only willing to do so if, you know, they were comfortable with a couple of harder questions or whatever. And they absolutely did not hesitate. And I think that's really cool. So I'm definitely glad that we were able to get this interview done and get all this out there for y'all to listen and learn about a kind of different company in the industry. And I hope y'all enjoyed this one. So I guess that kind of brings us to wrap-up time, so I want to say thank you to my Red Panda level patrons, Dr. Laura Schenk, Dr. Stephen Williamson, Barbara Bennett, and Jenny Owens, and also... Oh, come on, y'all, now. I know that, you know, you probably are sitting here and thinking, wait, but John, something's missing. And yeah, I admit it, I wasn't going to ask Sean about this, but would it be an episode of Raw Safari if we didn't do this?
It's time now, don't you know? We've come to the end of the show. But there's one tale left to go. You're gonna laugh and say, oh no. It's time for the Raw Safari Poop Story.
All right, y'all. So y'all know that I have been volunteering at the Aquarium of Niagara recently. And if you don't remember, I work in the marine mammal and birds department, which means seals and sea lions, which, you know, take care of business in their heavily filtered water and you never see anything. And then penguins. And penguins poop like up to 40 times a day, y'all. It is so much poop. And I'm there hanging out with these Humboldt penguins. And, you know, there's just a whole lot of cleaning poop. And so one day I was downstairs and I was doing prep for like mammal stuff. I thought I was doing mammals that day. And one of the members of my team came into the commissary and was like, John, can you run up to Penguin and assist in Penguin? And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll go hang out with the flappy birds. That's cool. They were like, awesome. Hey, you're going to be cleaning nest boxes, which is cool. Nest boxes are kind of like big dog kennels that have been altered a little bit. And then they like put their rocks in them and stuff. Interesting fact, Humboldt penguins in the wild actually live in poop. They literally dig into their guano, which is so thick and so much of the coastline where they live that they actually build guano huts. They're poop houses. That's literally what they do. So obviously can't allow that to happen in the back of an aquarium exhibit. So we have them in these amazing, you know, little nest boxes that are very cozy, not made out of poop, but that of course they poop all over. So cleaning out these nest boxes literally means like sticking half of your body into there and cleaning. And like, you just know you're going to get poop on you. Like that's part of the gig. So I ran up from downstairs where I had not been thinking what I was doing. And I was chewing gum. And I started cleaning a nest box and I dove in and sure enough, my mouth popped open as I was chewing gum. And let's just say there was more than gum in there all of a sudden. So penguin poop does not taste great. And you just kind of roll with it. Honestly, there's so much poop that I was just like, okay, little fleck got in my mouth. It's fine. Everything's fine. And I threw out my gum and rinsed out my mouth and got right back to cleaning that nest box. Gotta love it. Hey, remember, friends, the word credits backwards is Steiderk.
The Raw Safari Podcast is produced, hosted, and engineered by John Rossi. Editing and fact-checking by John and Dr. Zoe Rossi. Our theme song is Sevens by Nathan Burke, performed by Nathan and John. Interrupting John theme and additional voices by Taylor Isaac Gray. You can reach John directly on Instagram and Facebook at Rossafari or by email at rossafaripod@gmail.com. Rossafari is part of the Daydreamer Media Network. Now, stop listening to me and go visit a zoo.